Now, we need to go back here, reminisce just a little bit over this, and see if we can pick up our thoughts here. We've had some wonderful things to me that God has brought out, and I've really enjoyed it, and I'm sure some of the others have. But now, if you notice, the other night we went through this here. We won't go over this. This is on tape, but we went through Joseph being in the dungeon here and told how that he interpreted the dreams of the prisoners, the chief baker and the chief butler, and how that after the butler got out, he was out for about 2 years, and he still forgot Joseph. And then God willing to bring that thing to pass according to types and shadows, working everything after his own will. He brought it to pass, that Pharaoh dreamed two dreams. And these two dreams, Joseph interpreted and said that they were one and the same dream. And this happened when Joseph was about 30 years old. Now remember, he left his home at 17 years old. And he had been away from his father's house since he was about 17 years old, sold into bondage by his brethren. And now he is 30 years old. The Bible said when he starts to reign in Egypt, he's 30 years old. And so then he starts here at 30 years old to reign in Egypt after that he interprets the king's dream. Now he interprets the dream and he tells the king, which is Pharaoh. The name Pharaoh is like we use president today. Everybody that come up as the king there was called the Pharaoh. And so we notice here that Joseph interpreting this, he tells Pharaoh that there'll be 7 years of plenty and there will be 7 years of famine. And we brought out the other night what we believed about it concerning the church ages and the different things here concerning the interpretation the way we saw it in this third dimensional step. Now remember, the bride that Joseph took was her name was Asenath. We brought it out the other night. You remember, Pharaoh named him Zebnath-Paneah. That's what he called Joseph. And his wife was Asenath, which was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of Am, down in Egypt. Pharaoh gave him this man's daughter, and this is a beautiful picture of the Gentile bride. A beautiful picture of the Gentile bride. And here he is married to this woman, and she bore him two sons. And these two sons, you remember Jacob claimed. You remember that? Jacob said, these are mine. Said, you can have the rest of them, but these two are mine. And later on, you find them numbered with the tribes over there. You find that he really took them. And so then you see that Joseph, being 30 years old, was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. We've been trying to bring it out to show that he was a type of the Lord Jesus with the coat of many colors, being in the dungeon and so forth, and we illustrated it over here where the soul went into hell, and the grave here took the body, and the spirit went into paradise. And to be able to go back over that would take a long time. But you that have been following the teachings, you understand what I'm saying. And we had gotten up as far as the rule of Joseph, and we said that he was 30 years old. He had been in the dungeon for a long time. We won't say since he was 17, because remember, he came into Egypt at 17, and he must have stayed with the captain of the guard a long time down there. And God blessed him. Potiphar, the captain of the guard, the officer of Pharaoh, he must have stayed with him a long time, because he is now 30 years old, and he must have spent a number of years in the dungeon, because I believe it's 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. I know no way to prove this, but I believe that there's 2 years since the butler got out, for it said it came to pass after 2 years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And the butler says, I remember my fault, so he must have been there 2 years after the butler got out, and I don't know just how long before, but I know that we can't account for 4 years. You can count for all the years but 4 years. If you went down there at 17, how many years would that make? We had 13. I believe that's the way I figured it. John figured it, 13. All right, 13 years. If he's down there, I'll say 13 years. Well, you wouldn't think he spent 13 years in the dungeon now, would you? So that means he must have spent quite a bit of time over there with the captain of the guard. And then after that, he was in the dungeon, and then he comes out, and we find him here at 3 years old. He begins to rule in Egypt, and Pharaoh, who gave him this nickname, Pharaoh made this statement to him, said, Joseph, said, you'll ride in the second chariot, and said, only in the throne will I be greater than you are. And he said, everybody in Egypt will do obeisance unto you. And said, when the chariot goes down the street, everybody, there will be a cry that everybody is to bow the knees to Joseph. Bow the knees to Joseph. This was the cry. He said, I'll give you the signet off my finger and so forth. And said, this will be the cry. Bow the knees to Joseph. So we see Jesus at the right hand of the Father here. See him at the right hand of the Father. And in his symbol here. And here he is in the second chariot. He's 30 years old. Now, we find him going through the 5 years of plenty. 5 years of plenty, he had told Pharaoh, he said, during this 5 years of plenty, he said, take a filth part and lay it up that it might keep us alive in the time of the, or the 7 years of plenty, might keep us alive in the time of the 7 years of famine, a filth part. And it is said in the Bible that unto this day it is the same, that everybody has to give a filth part. Where he taxed him a filth part even during the famine. After he restored the land back to him, he carried this on out and required a filth part of everybody's food there in case it was another famine, I suppose, is why he did it. But anyway, he was very wise, and he ruled here during this great time of plenty. Pharaoh put him in there because he said, who is so discreet and wise as Joseph to know the interpretation of this thing and to know it's going to happen? Because he had already called all the wise men, he called all the presidents and everything he had, and nobody could interpret the dream to him. Now see, this is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. I made the statement the other night that down here in this world, God tells us that we are as children in the night, down here, unless we're born again, and then we're children of light. And so then in this world it's a dark night, and man's thoughts is as a dream with God. As a dream, when he spoke of Lazarus being dead, said, he sleepeth. And being the carnal mind, he said, be not drunken. For they that be drunken in the carnal mind, in the night. And they be asleep in the night, in the night. And remember, God reckons time from evening until morning, saying that it is night until Christ comes in our heart, which is the day star dawning within our heart. And so then, it's obvious that the way that God reckons this thing in this life is as a dream, even as Pharaoh did here, and even as Joseph interpreted. So it's obvious still that Christ Jesus, who comes into this world, is the Joseph of God to interpret our life to God, the great Spirit, who cannot look upon darkness or sin. And so then, the very same thing that Joseph did in the dungeon in interpreting the life, we said that the interpretation of the dream of the baker and the butler was really a spiritual interpretation of their life to show what they had done back in their lifetime. And then when they died in the symbol of going down into the dungeon, was resurrected back. One was restored to his service and blessed, and the other hang upon a tree. And the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hang upon a tree. We brought it out there how that this thing was spiritually portrayed. Now you who is here, you understand it clearly because we brought it out and we've got it on tape somewhere to where you can play it back and listen to it real careful the way we brought it out. All right, now, but this 7 years of plenty, and then there came the 7 years of famine. And Joseph is here ruling. And remember, through the 7 years of plenty, they laid up a filth part for the time of famine. Now then, remember, 7 years passed by. He still hasn't gone to his father's house. 7 years of plenty. Still, he hasn't gone to his father's house. He's now 37 years old. And then 2 more years goes by, which is 2 years of the great famine. 7 years of the plenty, and now he's entering into 2 years of the famine, which leaves 5 years of the famine, and he still hasn't gone to his father's house. Still hasn't gone yet. All right, now, he is now about 39 years old, all right? He's now 39 years old, almost the age of Moses, isn't he, when Moses came into the wilderness. All right, now he's almost 39 years old. And then the Bible said that back up in the land of Canaan, the famine is so bad until Jacob begins to send down into Egypt for corn. This is really a beautiful thing if you can see it. If you can see it in Revelation, the way that God has allowed me to see it, it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, we spoke the other night of the time of the famine and the time of Jacob's trouble. And Brother Ernie and I was discussing something the other day. You remember about Lear and the Jew, Brother Ernie? Now, we brought that out on a tape here. But anyway, this is a beautiful thing if you can see it. Now, how many of you know that America is a symbol of Joseph? Is that right? Is America a land of plenty when all the rest of the world is in need? Is that right? Starving to death in India. All right, then we see Joseph. Now, we might ask the question, as of today, we would say, where would Joseph appear in our age in the symbol? It would be America. Then we say, well, where would Benjamin appear in this age, which was the second son of Rachel? Remember, Rachel over beyond the Tower of Edom, after that the nurse Deborah, which was the nurse of Rebekah, died over at El Bethel. Remember coming from El Bethel, going over to Ephraim? The Bible said that just before they came to Ephraim, which is called Bethlehem, Rachel died. You remember that? The Bible said, and she bore a son at her death. She bore a son, the only son that was born in Canaan out of the 12. She bore a son, and when she bore the son, she died. She called his name Benoni, and the Bible said his daddy called him Benjamin. So then, we say Benjamin, the second son of Rachel. All right, now then, where is Benjamin? It would be the Jew. It would be over in the land of Israel, over in Palestine, where we're reading about it today and seeing it on the televisions and reading about it in the papers and hearing so much about it. Now, we might relate this again. We brought it out the other night. But remember now, Jacob, between El Bethel and between Ephraim, right here, his wife Rachel dies. Now, we brought out how that down in the land of Paddan Aram, when he went down there where Laban was, how that he got his wife down there, which were Laban being a seer and a brother to the mother Rebekah. He went down there, he got his wife, he lived with Leah for how long? 7 years. That's why she accused Rachel of taking her husband. She'd already been with him 7 years. All right, then, after that, he took Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And he lived with Rachel and Leah for many years. And then after that, Rachel died. Then who does he have left? Leah. You understand what I'm saying? See, Jesus came to the Jew. Isn't that right? He came to the Jew. And then after the Jew, what did he do? He took a Gentile bride. But the days of the Gentiles are supposed to come to an end. Isn't that right? Then where does he go to? He goes back to Leah. Is that right? All right, so then we see the Alpha and the Omega of it. He goes back to Leah. Now, he ends, if you notice, going on up to the land of memory, up to Hebron, the place that Abraham purchased for the field of Machpelah, the cave of Machpelah, for the burying place. Jacob is going on up this to Hebron. All right. He goes on up to the city of Arba, where Sarah dies. He goes on up to this place here, and here he comes into his inheritance concerning the birthright that he took from Esau. For 20 years he's been away. Though he had the birthright, he had the blessing, he did not get the wealth of his father. The birthright, as you know, means that he was to get the wealth and take over the business of his father and the servants and so forth. He did get it, but for 20 years he was driven away from his father's house. You see that picture of Jesus Christ coming in this world, leaving the riches of heaven, coming down here to redeem the bride? You see that? To get the Jew and to get the bride of Christ. You see what I'm talking about in types and shadows? Now, if this sounds strange to you, remember this is what Paul taught. He said Sarah was a type of New Jerusalem. Hagar was a type of Old Jerusalem. I'm just teaching the same thing he taught, the same old past, walked there in. All right, now, so we see him coming up to Hebron. Now, he's ready to take over his father's house and get his wealth. He's already a wealthy man, but he's exceedingly wealthy when he takes over his father's wealth. Now, he's on his way to Hebron to do this, But before he gets to Hebron, what happens? The days of the Gentiles are over. You understand what I mean? Now, if Jacob goes back to his father's house, that's Israel in times. Jesus turning away from the bride, going back to the Jew, to come into his inheritance. See, because Christ Jesus, as long as he deals with the bride, he don't have any inheritance. Isn't that right? The purchased possession isn't yet. He doesn't rule as the King David out as he will in the millennium, where the Jews will be the head of the nation. But when he comes to the Father's house, that's when he gets his wealth. See, so that means he's got to turn back to the Jew before he does that. Is that right? The Jew is his inheritance. All right, so then the natural Jesus. Now, we are the inheritance of the Holy Ghost Jesus. Is that right? The spiritual God. All right, now, but the bride, which is to the natural Jesus, is the Jew over here. Is that right? All right, now, I wish I had time to go into all this and break it down, and I'll show you just exactly why I say that. But just trying to get the highlights of it. So then Jacob is coming to Mamre. He's headed for the land of Hebron. He's coming up there. He's going back to his father's house. But before he gets there, the days of the Gentiles close. Now, how does it close out? It closes out giving birth to the Jew. Isn't that right? That's the end of the Gentile church, as the Gentile church brings in the Benjamin, which is the last one. Remember now, the real Jews doesn't come from Benjamin. That is the Jews that's been the past, the church in the wilderness back yonder. But this last group of Jews is different. The last one is going to be Holy Ghost Jews. You understand what I mean? They're going to be a brother to Joseph. See, but the others was without the Holy Ghost, the ones that had him crucified. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying here? All right. Now then, we find here that he's going back to his father's house, and as he goes back to the father's house, he turns back to Leah. And when he finally buries a wife in the old burying place, who does he bury? Rachel? No, he buries Leah. He buries Leah. So then we see a beautiful picture here. Now, we could go on into that and elaborate and get into some of the present-day things that's happening. We might add this little bit just before we pass on over to Joseph here. I said the end of the world was at hand. And I said the days of the Gentiles was over. God was closing out to them. And I know this, the Bible teaches the night's past and the harvest is gone and we're not saved yet. The night's come, that is, and the harvest past. Not saved yet. And I know when I say this that we still have people in here that are still not living right. They're still not ready to meet God. I know that. Though they profess to be Christians, they're still not ready. But I'm going to say this, I told you the other night, whether you're ready or whether you're not ready, you better get serious because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now you say, Brother Pike, how do you know that? I spoke of the light going out and explained that the other night. Now then, the Bible said, he that toucheth Jacob, which is Israel, that he toucheth the apple of God's eye. Isn't that right? Right now the papers state that America is not being allies to Israel. They're not, instead of treating her nice, they're mistreating Israel. They're mistreating Israel right now. God has always given grace to the United States or any nation that's ever blessed Israel because it was Jacob and the blessing that Isaac left upon Jacob. If you read it, said, he that blesseth thee shall be blessed and he that curseth thee shall be cursed. The blessing to Abraham before he left the land of his nativity was this, that God would bless him, and whoever blessed Abraham would be blessed. Whoever Abraham cursed would be cursed. Is that right? All right, so then, we find this thing still following even to this present day. And America is beginning to come against Israel. Now, who remembers me making a prediction, Brother Al, you spoke of the other night in Texas? I said there will come a time when America will turn against Israel. And that'll be it. All right, now the papers state now that America is not going along with Israel, but accusing Israel of taking the land that belongs to Egypt or to the Egyptians and not giving it back to them, the Arabs. Is that right? All right, now then, if this is true, then that means the same thing that happened to Eichmann will happen to America. When the Germans come against the Jews, they went down. Before that, they prospered. But when they touched the Jew, they went down. Isn't that right? Now look who we got in office now. A man by the name of Nixon. You know what Nixon means in German? Nix means nothing. The Bible said that is not of God shall come to nothing, come to naught. That's what America's come to, nothing. All right, now then, what's happening? That same German thing against the Jew. Against the Jew. Coming against the Jew, they are going along with Russia. Russia. Now, who's Russia? We brought out the lineage of Ham, Shem, and Japheth the other night and showed there was Gog and Magog. Isn't that right? The Bible said in that day there shall be an evil thought that shall come into the heart of Gog and Magog in the latter times. They will say, let us go up to the city with unfenced walls and take for ourselves a spoil. Russia in the disguise of the Arab garments, working through the Arabs to keep America from pouncing on them, working in disguise to that nation, has gone up against Israel, the city with the unfenced walls, that means no militant powers, gone up there to take for themselves a spoil. Isn't that right? Because they've heard of the prosperity of Israel in the latter times. And they've gone up there, and what did the Lord say? He said, in that day I will gather together all nations against Israel and plead their cause. Is that right? Alright, now then he's got all nations turned toward him. I understand that the other nations, Brother Ernie, has told Israel that they will protect her, and they're coming around there. And here is America that's coming in around there. And here is Russia, all the nations being gathered together around Israel. Jesus said, when you see the cities of Israel come past about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Is that right? Is that Bible? Right. He told them when they offered up their children in the valley of Tophet, I believe it was in the Old Testament, they offered them up to strange gods, and they burned them to the God of fire. And it displeased God. And he said, someday, he said, you won't call this that valley. He said, but you'll call it the valley of slaughter, for I'll gather all nations together here someday. She burned in their lust one toward another, the God of fire. I'll call them together and plead my cause. And the Bible said that the blood shall run up to the horse's bridle. And what was it Israel said recently? Why should we be afraid, they said. Why should we tremble at what America or anybody else says? See, they're taking courage. Now then, what happens when Israel rises up in faith? When Israel, from the time that God ever made Israel a nation in the Old Testament, when Israel rose up in faith and courage, it meant that God was moving in their behalf. And when they offered faith, God always stood behind them. Didn't they defeat this nation over here? Israel has taken great courage because they defeated this nation in such a short time. They've got great courage, and they are reassured within their heart that God is on their side. And I say this, that no nation on earth will ever defeat them anymore. They'll never be defeated as long as of the world. But that one little nation will defeat every nation under the heaven. You say, I don't believe it. Wait and see if it happens. Never again will they be defeated, because God promised to come through the eastern gate and stand for them. Now, that is a symbol of the spiritual Jew. That's a symbol of the church. That at this time, the church has been kicked around. It's been put on the backside of the tracks. And the great denominational powers of today has trampled it under their foot to their satisfaction. But the man-child is in the land that shall rule with a rod of iron. Israel will rule through the millennium as the head of the nation, for God said, I will make you the head and not the tail if you keep my laws. When they rejected the laws of God, God made them the tail, according to Deuteronomy 28, and they were not the head of the nation. But now they become the head of the nation. They're moving in to take over all nations and defeat all nations and become the body that will rule with a rod of iron in the natural. We are to be the man-child with the word of God, which is the rod of iron, that will rule through the millennium, the spiritual powers ruling through the natural people, Jew, just like God the Spirit rules through us now, the church. So then the church, at this time, the Holy Ghost mind of eternal God will rise up, and they will not be able to withstand the wisdom by which we speak, as it was with Stephen's when they beheld his face as an angel and stoned into death. And the Holy Ghost God will stand up for the church at this time, and they will take everything under the heavens. The Bible said the kingdom they will take. The black man won't get it. The yellow man may chant his cry, but he won't get it. Nobody else won't get it, but the Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. And that they will declare that the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God. That's the Jew part of it. Is that right? That's Adam dressing the garden. All right, now then, we see this thing coming to pass. And as the armies gather in around Jerusalem, then all nations are a representative or a type and a shadow of denominations. And with the nations gathering around natural Israel, the united or confederation of nations, then the united or confederated churches will gather together the denominations around the spiritual Israel, which is those that reject the mark of the Antichrist beast, which is the papacy of Rome, whose number is 666, the number of a man. Now then, we see all of this coming to pass just with this Jacob turning back to Leah. Every bit of this is in this. The Bible speaks of the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the tribulation that's coming in, where Israel, the seed of Jacob, his name changed from Jacob to Israel, where he has his great tribulation and his great trouble. And he calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. So then, just giving a quick preview and not being able to go into it extensively tonight, but just giving a quick preview of it, we see this. And then we see here as God begins to portray Christ after this in the life of Joseph. All right, now, let's see if we can get back to this thought here. 39 years old, 2 years of the famine is past. Now notice this. Here comes the brethren down to Joseph. Now let's see if we can clear up a thought here. I said that America was a symbol of Joseph. Isn't that right? Then I said that Israel over here, the last Jew coming in which would receive that seal, was Benjamin. And I made the statement that Benjamin and Joseph had the same mother. They were true brothers. The others were just half-brothers. Is that right? Same daddy, but not same mother. Now, America, which is Joseph, and Benjamin over here are real brothers. That is, religiously speaking, they're real brothers. These people really have religion, real salvation. There's people in America who have real salvation, and the Jew has it in the sense that he was blinded in part. He really is God's chosen people. These really are brothers. You understand what I'm saying? But these other denominational powers are not brothers. The spiritual Jew and the natural Jew is body and spirit, which means the spiritual Jew, his message shall enter into the natural Jew, the natural Jew which has been dead in a symbol, cast out of the presence of God. Over here at Calvary we brought it out by the death of Jesus Christ. This Jew will come back to life when this message enters into him. And Paul said of the casting away of that Jew symbolized his death, which gives us a chance to come to life over here. If the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of that Jew be but life, the spirit going back into the body unto a resurrection? You understand what I'm saying? What will the receiving of the Jew be but the resurrection from the dead, which means the resurrection is at hand. It's at hand. Now then, we see in a type and we see in a shadow here how that God is turning back to the Jew. Do any of you see that tonight? Now, every time I go to say this, I still think of the vision where I had that vision. And I was standing looking at those things in heaven, and I turned around to people. When the voice said, "Do you see these?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I see them." And I turned to the people and I said, "Folks, don't we see what's happening in heaven that God's showing us?" And everybody looked at me kind of strange. Now, how many believe in heaven tonight? That's strange. I know that. But Jesus talked over there to Nicodemus, and he said, "The Son of Man who was in heaven, who is in heaven." And the Bible said, "We're made to sit together in heavenly places, translated into the kingdom of God." Is that right? John saw the things that was going on in heaven. Paul called it in the third heaven. When you get in the mind of God, the mind of revelation, you're in heaven. Is that right? You see these things in heaven tonight. Hear what the Spirit said to the church, the revelation. Is that right? The voice of revelation is the voice of God. Now, I teach the natural Bible. That's my voice. But when it comes to revelation, that's the voice of God, the trump of God, that's the trump that raises the dead. You understand what I'm saying? I wish we could break it down and go into it. The resurrectional voice of revelation that touches your spirit, and your spirit comes into your body and you're resurrected. The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. And we are reckoned, Paul said, to be dead to the world and to sin by the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are alive unto God in the kingdom of God. He had died with him till the restoring of all things in the millennium, I chamber. Now then, but when the Spirit at death, the Spirit goes back to God who gave it. When we die through repentance, our spirit went to God who gave it. We become dead to the things of the world. But the Bible said at the coming, it said Christ coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the earth, which means our spirits, which he had with Christ and God, returns into this body, and we become active for the battle of Armageddon, which is not far away. The resurrection. The resurrection. I know you don't understand that. Some of you don't. And I don't have time to go into it and explain it thoroughly to where you can. But I hope you that can receive it, the Bible said, let him receive it. All right, now then. So we see this thing taking place, and we get a beautiful picture of it here, as America is Joseph, and as Israel is Benjamin. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, you say, if America, right here's got it wrote down, if America is Joseph, we say Palestine, Benjamin, if this be true, then where is the 10 brethren? Where are the 10 brethren? Now, the Bible said from Joseph, the blessing of Jacob was, from thence cometh the stone, which is Jesus. He said Benjamin would be as a raven wolf. Simeon and Levi was instruments of cruelty. Said his honor would not enter into their habitation. That was the blessing he gave them. Joseph was a fruitful bough that would run over the wall. Isn't that right? And said Judah is the one that shall be praised. Zebulun shall be a haven by the sea. Isn't that right? All right. Now that as he gave the blessings on the brethren, he said that Judah, which was the fourth son of Leah, said to him shall be the praise, for a lawgiver shall not fail coming from Judah until Shiloh be come. All right, we found Shiloh set up when they come into Canaan land. Now, until Shiloh be come, Judah is among the 10 brethren. You understand what I'm saying now? Now remember, six sons was Leah's sons. Two sons was Bilhah's son. Two sons was Zilpah's sons. And two sons was Rachel's son. All of them had two sons apiece out of the four wives except for Leah. She had six sons. And the fourth son was Judah. All right, now then, that means that wherever the 10 brethren are, then that's where the Antichrist will come from. See, if from the 10 true brethren, out of one of them, which is Judah, comes Christ, then wherever the 10 brethren are in types as nations, out of them will come a type of Christ, which will be Antichrist. Does that make sense? All right, where are these 10 brethren? In Italy, Rome, that's where they're at. That's the Catholic powers, the Catholic Church. Now you say, can you show that in Revelation? Let's look at it and see if we can. That means that out of there is coming Antichrist. Let's see if it shows in Revelation. What happened when Joseph was sold into bondage? What happened? He was cast in a pit, wasn't he? What happened when he was sold into bondage? You remember? He went down into Egypt. Isn't that right? Sold into bondage by his brethren. What happened to the Protestant church? The Catholic kicked it out. Is that right? The Catholic kicked it out. They wouldn't have no part of it. Is that right? They didn't like their dreams. They talked about things they didn't believe in. So they kicked it out. And what did it do? It was kicked out in the wilderness. But what happened? It got at the right hand of Pharaoh, didn't it? It got over here and become a great nation. And then what happened? It became a great religious nation. And then what happened to the Catholics? They went on the blink. They went on the blink. That's right. After the Dark Age, the whole thing just caved in, just like a house caving in. Is that right? Check history and see if I'm telling you right. It caved in. There was a famine, see. There was a famine with those brethren after that he was gone. Now remember, he was in Canaan land, isn't that right? So you look back over there across the sea, you're going back toward Israel, that's the Canaan land back in that direction. All right, now he was cast out. But he became the ruler, and what did the brethren finally have to do? What did the Catholic Church have to do? They had to take a bow to the Protestant Church, just like they did to Joseph. They had to take a bow to get set up over here in this country. They had to come to America to survive, to get food. Wasn't that what Joseph did? He took his brethren down there and took his father down there. Isn't that right? Don't the Catholic Church call themselves the Mother Church? Is that right? The Pope's the father of it. Is that right? All right, what did Joseph do? He took the brethren down there And he put them all to work in Egypt, didn't he? And gave them the land of Goshen. You know what happened to the Catholic Church? The Protestants finally invite them over here and give them all a position. Is that right? Am I telling you right? All right. So then you see they were in a spiritual thing. The church went down on them. And they had to come over here to get spiritual food. So you see the type. Now then, remember that Joseph did not accept those brethren until they did one thing. What was that? Bring Benjamin, he said. I want my brother. Bring Benjamin. America, the Protestant religion, will never accept the Catholic religious system in a confederation of churches until they get the Jew to join it. Because America knows, the Protestant people knows that God is with the Jew because the Bible said salvation is of the Jew. But they do not know and do not believe that God is with the Catholic Church. They do not believe it. And they will never join in a confederation until they get the Jew to join it. If the Catholics persuade the Jew to join it, then they'll accept it because they believe that God's in it. If the Jew gets in it, wherever the Jew's at, they believe God's in it. Alright? So he said, you bring Benjamin. Now remember, he gave them corn to begin with, didn't he? That's what he did for the Catholic Church. He's carried it, but that confederation to where they become a family and brothers again, you have to bring Benjamin. You have to bring Benjamin. Now you say, will they bring Benjamin? The Bible said that Antichrist will go make a covenant with Israel. Is that right? With the Jews, make a covenant. Isn't that right? They will make a covenant. That's right. But remember, Benjamin was not the brother, not the whole brother, but only a half brother, not the whole brother. What was the difference? They had the same father, but not the same mother. See what I'm saying? God the Father is one that creates the good and evil. He begat us all, isn't it right? We all got the same father. Is that right? But the church is the mother, and we all don't have the same mother. There's a different mother there. That's what makes a difference. You understand what I'm saying? It's a different mother. We got a Protestant mother, they got a Catholic mother. Is that right? Now, you say, Brother Pike, but that was Leah. You said it was a Jew. That's right, it is. But it carries a symbol for Paul said, speaking of Hagar, who ran parallel with Leah, said that she now is and is in bondage with her children. And the bond's child shall not be heir with the child of promise. Isn't that right? Amen. So then who is in bondage? It's the mother of those six and the mother of the four, Bilhah, Zilpha, and Leah, all was not wanted by Jacob. He wanted one. That was Rachel. Isn't that right? You understand what I'm saying? So you do get a picture of the Jew coming, Jesus, through Judah, Israel, Leah, and a picture of the Catholic Church and this other denominational power that sprang up, Protestantism, which is the same thing, springing up through Zilpha and Bilhah. And then you see the elect as Rachel where the bride comes in. You see that? When Jacob was coming up from the land of Padan Aram, what did he do? He put Zilpha and Bilhah first with their children. Is that right? Then next he put Leah and her children. And then what did he do? He put Rachel and her children. Last shall be first. Is that right? Alright, so then when he went to meet Esau. So then we see that there will be a confederation of churches. There was a dissolving of nations here, a dissecting, a separation unto death, the body from the spirit, the Jew and the church. And then there will be a reuniting in the confederation of churches, which will show the end of the world. And with the coming together, it will be the reuniting, and it will be body, soul, and spirit going back together, Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. Just as they were dissected unto death here to show the death of all the nations of the coming of the Lord, they will come back into confederation to show the reuniting of the body, soul, and spirit unto life, the resurrection, receiving of the Jew unto life. Now, if this be true, and it is true, then we can get a picture of Joseph down here when we're speaking of those 7 years of plenty of the church ages, the Protestants, and so forth. And then the 7 years of famine, the tribulation. We see the difference in it, don't we? Is that right? All right, then we see the 7 years of plenty, and we see the 7 years of tribulation in its symbol coming in. Now then, Joseph, down here, when his brethren finally came, he was 2 years in the famine when they finally came to him. Remember, Joseph also shows the rule of the Antichrist. So then, it shows it where the brethren come to him. They come to him. And when they finally brought Benjamin, then he accepted them, takes them, sends after his father. He sends all the way back up here to get his father. The Bible said he sent 10 asses laden with clothes and all of these things for Jacob and for his household. Then he sends 10 she-asses up there laden with food. Then he sent wagons up there. And the Bible said that when Jacob knew that Joseph was alive, his heart fainted within him. But when he saw the wagons and learned that his son was governor over Egypt, his spirit revived and he made the trip. And the Bible said the angels of God appeared to him, or that is, the Lord spoke to him, and said, fear not to go down into Egypt. I'll go with you. I'll go with you into Egypt. Sometimes God will send you into a bar room. Might be a special mission. But he might do that. So then we see going down into Egypt. He went down here and said, I'll make a great nation out of you, Jacob. And so they went down here, and we're going to close in just a little bit. I just want to carry a little natural milk here with us as we go with the meat. Now then, he was down there in Egypt. Down there during the time of this great famine, Joseph had took everything the people had. There wasn't anything left. See that type of Antichrist? He bought them. He took everything they had. They didn't have nothing. But then he gave them a plan of rehabilitation, and he gave them their land back and just took a fifth part of it. All but the priest. He done this to all but the priest. Now then, when Jacob and his people came down, I said the other night there were 70 souls of them. You see the number 70 with God? But also there were 66 souls before it was counted as 70. I brought it out the other night. See Antichrist too, don't you? So, we brought it out the other night as to how many it was per family, whose children it was, and so forth. Right, now, here they are down in Egypt. Down in Egypt. They come down into Egypt. And here they are down in the land of Egypt. And the Bible said when they got into the land of Egypt, that Jacob went before Pharaoh. He received him. He told him he was about 130 years old. The days of his pilgrimage had been evil. Not attained to the years of his father. Finally died at 147 when Isaac lived to be 180. So then, we find here that they lived in the land of Goshen, and God blessed them. And then when the time came for Jacob to die, he called Joseph, put his hands under his thigh, and he swore to him he would take him back to the cave of Machpelah, the land of Mamre, over in Canaan, and bury him with his fathers. He swore unto Jacob that he would do it. In the Old Testament, to swear an oath was the end of all confirmations. So then, he swore that he would do it. And then the Bible said that Jacob died after being down there with his son for maybe 14 years, was it? Down there, he stayed down there about 14 years with Joseph. And he saw his children's children and brought them up. And here the Bible said that he died. They took him back. Joseph asked leave, and the Bible said they took him back beyond Jordan to the thrashing floor of Atad, mourned for him 7 days. That was what we spoke of the other night. It was called Abel Mizraim. They mourned so much there. And all the elders of Egypt went up, and all the rulers of the house of Pharaoh. And it was a great thing like this thing was up here when Russell died. Dignitaries going up. But prior to this, they had 40 days fulfilled for the embalming. That's Jesus in the wilderness with his 40-day fast. Scientists consider a man's body dead after 40 days. So they had 40 days here of the mourning, of the embalming, and then 70 days of the mourning, and then 7 days beyond Jordan, over the threshing floor, there, and then they finally buried him. After this, Joseph, I said Jacob seen his children's children, Joseph seen his children's children, and there he's brought up upon his knee. And then after this, the Bible said that Joseph died. Joseph himself died after this. He was buried in Egypt. He was put in a tomb there. And he prophesied that his bones would be taken up at the time of the deliverance and taken back over here to the field of Machpelah, so to speak, in the land of Canaan, to sleep with his fathers. He prophesied that they would do it, which they did do it. The Bible said the Pharaoh died that knew Joseph. And after this, the tribulation comes in. You can see it with this evil Pharaoh coming. Is that right? And you just watch following America and see if Joseph is a type of America. How many of you know that Joseph is dying right now? Is that right? Dying. You say, Brother Pike, I don't see it. America's still going on. My friend, America's going on, but the Joseph government that she knew is not going on. Every 200 years is a change of government, and already it's done change. The money system has changed from capitalism to communism. Already there's no more gold and silver to back it up. It's just a government note, that's all. So then you see, it's changing. Joseph died. And we see this, and I'm going to try to stop here. We didn't get to cover the natural part of it as much as we wanted to, but we'll relate back to it and cover some more of it in the next teachings. I want to bring out a few of those highlights. But anyway, we're at the end of the way. This confederation of churches is coming in, and that means that the Lord Jesus is coming back for when America touches the Jew. When America touches the Jew, that means that the grace dispensation is over and it is gone. God has given a grace dispensation for the church to get right with God. That's why you can smoke, chew, dip, curse, drink, have sex parties, do anything you want to, and still have the blessings of God. You say you can't do it. Yes, you can do it. In the days of grace, the rain comes on the just and on the unjust. God is blessing the just and the unjust. But it is not his will to do it. It is not his desire to do it, because the Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day, and the offering of the wicked is abomination in his sight, and he will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth, for there is no peace to the wicked, and when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them. And what is Nixon saying right now? We're going to have peace, he said. We are ending the war of Vietnam. He said it's ending, and I believe that we'll never have war again. Isn't that what the Bible said they'd say? Peace, but there's no peace to the wicked. So then, saying this to come to a close, America has a dispensation of grace. And that grace is to keep from destroying the church while it's in its infancy state, to where it can grow up in its mistakes and its stumblings. Otherwise, God would have to destroy them as he did the church in the wilderness with his wrath. The grace dispensation for your sake, it's not for their sake, but to water the wheat, you've got to water the tare, because the rain comes down from heaven. And we talked about the fountain open in the house of David, and then the water's cut off from heaven. And you got that fountain open now. Always be a light in the house of David, whose house you are. And so then the grace dispensation is almost at an end, and you say, how can that be, Brother Pike? When the Jews touched Christ, that was the end of their grace. When the Gentiles turn on the Jew, America turns on the Jew, which they're doing right now, then God's grace will not go to the Gentiles anymore. And you can hear people preach what they want to, and you can believe what you want to, and you can accept it the way you want to, but I tell you in the name of the Lord, that America touching the Jew means the closing of the door of grace to the Gentile people, and he will not give them grace after this. That's right, he won't do it. That means that souls will not be saved. They will not go into the kingdom of God. And as the great angel said when he set one foot on the land and one on the sea, he lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, saying, the time shall be no more. This is what he said. And we've come to the last and final steps of this thing, where America is raising up against Israel, and God said, they're touching the apple of my eye. He'll cut the grace off, and that's the closing of the door to the Gentile people, God turning back to the Jew. the resurrection of the dead. Is that right? All right, let's stand together. And I appreciate your kind attention tonight. And I've tried to tell you from my heart, as near as I understand and as near as I know. Now, I'm just one just like you are, looking for the coming of the Lord and trying to do what little I can to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And I trust that you're doing the same thing. We're all in the same boat, hoping and praying, watching, asking the Lord Jesus to have mercy upon us. I feel His presence, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the presence of God. Folks, we are in the end of the world. We are at the end of the way. The harvest is over and gone, and many are not saved yet.